This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, Comebacks. You can find us wherever you get your podcasts. Many comebacks are driven by an emotion, nostalgia. Nostalgia also powers a lot of TV shows and ads.
How can I handle work on a day like today?
Like this Ferris Bueller-inspired Honda commercial. What exactly is nostalgia? What does it do in our brains? We sent reporters Andreas Copes and Liz Tung to find out.
Nostalgia may be a savvy marketing tool these days, but it wasn't always that way. The term nostalgia was first coined back in 1688 by a Swiss medical student named Johannes Hofer. Hofer was an ambitious guy, so ambitious that he wanted to discover and name his own illness. And so in his student dissertation, Hofer describes a disease that basically amounts to intense and potentially deadly homesickness. He bases this idea on two case studies. One was a student who'd fallen sick while studying abroad and was sent home to die, only to make a miraculous recovery. The other was a local servant girl who became ill after an accident put her in a hospital far from home. Again, she recovered once she was back home with her parents. Hofer proposed that this wasn't a coincidence, but rather the result of a disease that he named nostalgia, from the Greek roots nostos, meaning homecoming, and algos, which means pain. To Hofer, this wasn't just an emotional illness. It was physical. News of this new disease spread across Switzerland and eventually across the world, becoming known as the Swiss disease. As we learn more about the body, nostalgia went from being thought of as a physical illness to a psychological one. And finally, it morphed into how we think of it today. Here's neuroscientist Andrew Newberg.
Generally, nostalgia is defined as a kind of autobiographical memory, thinking about something in your own past that typically evokes a primarily positive kind of emotional response. Although, you know, there's always a little bit of a negative, bittersweet kind of thing, longing for, you know, something in the past.
But overall, nostalgia is seen as a positive emotion.
That actually helps people to be more resilient, to kind of think back on what their life has been up till this point and give them some purpose and meaning going forward.
So we sent our intern, Andreas Copes, out to experience some nostalgia. And Andreas, where did you go?
So even though I'm a child of the 90s, you know, I grew up with NSYNC and the Furbies, Titanic, I love the 1980s. The music, the fashion, everything about it. So I visited a 1980s escape room in Philadelphia, and Elizabeth Garson, the founder of Escape the 1980s, gave me a tour.
So what we see in here is a very old school video store.
Like the Blockbuster.
It is like Blockbuster, yeah. And there are literally dozens and dozens and dozens of video tapes, VHS tapes.
For example?
So here we have Moonstruck or Top Gun. Here's Cocktail, Beverly Hills Cop, Turner and Hooch, Can't Buy Me Love, Dirty Dancing, Lethal Weapon. We even have offbeat ones like Blue Velvet.
All neatly organized into categories like customer favorites or new releases. I opened the videotapes and put them into a VCR to find clues like this one from The Neverending Story. I asked Elizabeth Garson why she chose the 1980s.
Because it was one of the best eras of all times. And because it appeals to my generation, which is Generation X, but it also really appeals to the following generation, to the millennial generation.
How did you feel when you were at the escape room?
It was super cool, and it made me feel comfortable, and I could forget about the stress every day, the news that I read. And for the next few days, I was listening to my 80s playlist 24/7, like Heaven is a Place on Earth, for example.
Okay, so when you hear that song or watch an old movie, what creates that emotion, that sappy, sad, sweet feeling? Neuroscientist Andrew Newberg explains it like this.
It evokes memory areas of our brain, and these tend to be located in a part of our brain called the temporal parietal region. So the temporal lobe is along the side of the brain, the parietal lobe is in the back of the brain, and where the two come together is where we have a lot of our memory processes. And so when brain scans have been done on people experiencing nostalgia, that's an area of the brain that becomes active.
So it's about memory, but it's also about emotions.
What links the emotion to the memory is another part of our brain called the insula.
The insula seems to be involved not so much in the actual feeling of emotions, but in trying to help us understand them.
It's like the translator between our emotional minds and our rational minds. Andrew says there's also evidence that dopamine, the feel-good molecule in our brain, is released when we feel nostalgic. So it's no coincidence that marketers tap into this emotion when figuring out how to sell us their products. Case in point, this little Stranger Things ditty that was released to advertise new Coke.
Hey, Tracy.
Hey, Steve.
You're late.
Coca-Cola is it. Here's Jonah Berger. He's a marketing professor at the Wharton School at the University of Pennsylvania.
I think people are always interested in harkening back to a simple time. It reminds them and connects them to things that they've loved in the past. And so it's an interesting way for marketers to stay relevant today.
And you know what? It happens with every new generation. Jonah says that people in the 1980s were nostalgic for the 1950s.
Every generation says, oh, you know, today things are so complicated and busy, and young people, they're so into new technologies, and, you know, things are so much different than the simple ways of the past. And so the idea of hearkening back to a simple time, a simpler time, hearkening back to when people were younger, when things, life seemed easier.
That was the case with this guy I talked to named Sean Robert. He runs an 80s nostalgia website, and he told me it all started back when he was in his early 20s, and life was tough.
I was working two jobs to make ends meet, and it just seemed like I was sort of like a cog in a machine.
He wanted to build what he calls a happy place for himself, filled with all the cartoons and movies and toys and even cereals that he loved as a kid.
The idea was that it would be like an archive of all kinds of like 80s era kid stuff and stuff that I could share.
13 years later, the site's still going strong. Sean made friends through the website, even met his wife, and it made him feel better. But Sean says he realizes there's an irony to all of this.
There's this undercurrent of sadness that defines nostalgia. The whole idea of nostalgia is this want or need for something that you can't have anymore. When you start accepting the fact that you can't go back, or that this sadness is the way it's supposed to be, I guess, that's when it becomes a little bit more gratifying.
That story was reported by Liz Tung and Andreas Copes.